PGA Tour Hall of Fame caddy, Rabbit Dyer.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week, we tap the minds of PGA and USGA course pros, architects, authors, and teaching gurus to provide you with tips, drills, insights, and advice so that you can lower your scores. Golf Smarter is brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf, golf's most trusted retailer since 1968. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Okay, so his name is just Rabbit. We don't need the Rabbit Dyer part, but you get the point of what I'm saying. Caddies don't need last names, right? Our podcast is brought to you in part by Bird Golf Academy. If lousy weather does anything, it makes you want to play golf. But don't you want to play better, too? Then check into the Bird Golf Academy. As a Golf Smarter listener, you receive a 10% discount. So go to golfsmarterpodcast.com and click on the link to Bird Golf Academy. When you make your reservation for the Academy, make sure to tell them you heard about it on the Golf Smarter Podcast. Our guest today is a legend in his field. Alfred Rabbit Dyer was inducted into the Professional Caddies Association Hall of Fame in 2000 and is a PCA Worldwide Caddy Ambassador. It's guys like this, with stories like the ones you're about to hear, that make golf such a great game. Welcome, Rabbit.
Nice to talk to you.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. I understand you're down in Houston, right?
Yeah, I'm down in Houston. I'm a evacuee from New Orleans. Got flooded out in New Orleans, so I had to come to the closest place, which is Texas.
Yeah, so you got caught up in Katrina, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, Katrina ran me out of there.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Sorry. I'm healthy, and I got my strength. Clothes and material things don't mean that much to me.
Oh, well, as long as you're healthy, that's the good part.
That's right.
You started caddying professionally. Well, let's go back. When did you start caddying?
Yeah, this is a good story for you. 1947 in New Orleans, Louisiana, at Metairie Country Club, Ben Hogan came over there, and at that time we were shag boys. You catch the ball, you hit the ball, and you put it in the bag. Now they use electronic things to do it, but in that day the caddies were shag boys in the 40s. And Ben Hogan came down there one evening after school, and I shagged for him. So he said, I was pretty tall for my age. I think I was 10 years old, and I was very tall. And he said, little Rabbit, he said, I tell you, he said, they could call you Rabbits when you're small, you know. And he said, I'm playing an exhibition on Friday. He said, can you carry this big old bag? He wanted me to carry it for him because I don't work for him Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Picking up balls, he wanted a caddy. So he took me for the caddy. So that first pro I ever caddy for was Ben Hogan.
Wow.
Wow, that's a good story. And so on the third hole, he hit the ball out of bounds. You say, you can't catch a coon with your dog tied up. So I was scared to ask in those days. You know, I'm scared to ask him. So when I got to number nine, I said, Mr. Hogan, what you mean? He said, little rabbit, you can't hold on to the club. You must release the club. Is great. Yes, he's right. So in the British Opening, when Gary Player won the British Opening in 1974, I was the first black caddy in 102 years to work the British Opening. And Gary Player got the one hole with it, and he starts steering the ball. I said, Gary, you can't catch a coon with your dog. So in other words, I'm telling him to release the club. You know, go through the ball, not at the ball. So that's what good caddies do. They tell the man, the only person can help a golfer is his caddy. You couldn't come in inside of the ropes and say, what are you doing this, Gary? That's against the rules. You know that, don't you?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Huh?
What do you mean that's against
the rules? I mean, if Gary Player is swinging bad and you are his son or his brother, you can't come on the other side of the ropes to tell him what to do.
Right.
The person can tell him is his caddy.
Okay.
That's outside information.
Right.
You see? So that's why Gary Player had a relationship from 72 to 92, because I never been late, and a good caddy know when to speak and when he's spoken to.
That's right. Now, boy, you brought up three different topics that I want to ask you about. Let's talk about Gary Player. Now, Gary Player's from South Africa, isn't he?
Right, sure is.
So a South African man having a black caddy, that must have been very interesting for both of you.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the first, my daddy catered for Gary Player in 59.
Oh.
New Orleans. And the first time I ever catered for Gary Player was in 62 in New Orleans, when you put your hand in a grab bag and you pull out a pro's name. The guy in front of me pulled out Arnold Palmer. I said, gee, wow, that's bad luck for me. But I was next in line, and I pulled Gary Player. He finished fifth in the tournament and gave me $500. In those days, I never slept in the block with $500. So I catered for him from 62 was the first time I catered for him. 10 years later, I saw Gary play in Birmingham, Michigan, when he won the PGA. I said, Gary, he said, oh, you little rabbit, you catered for me in New Orleans. You remember me? I said, if you win the PGA this week, who going to caddy for you in the World Series of Golf? In those days, four tournaments got you into the World Series of Golf. The PGA, the Masters, the U.S. Open, and the British Open. So he said, well, if you got that much confidence in me, Rabbit, he said, you got a job. So he won the PGA in 72. I started working for Gary Player the next week after the PGA. He won the World Series of Golf. He said, you got a job. You're a good luck charm to me. And I've been with him from 72 to 92. Good story for you.
So you didn't get any sense of racism that came out of that man's blood at all, huh?
I tell you why I didn't get any. The Gary Player treated everybody the same. I've been over there seven times to South Africa.
Wow.
I went to his ranch he got a school for the black kids all over, you know, all over those little counties, whatever they have there. He had a school on his ranch that all the kids used to come out there, and he had me to go talk to the kids in the school. The kids, they sung songs for me, or they was real nice kids. No, Gary Player, far as I'm concerned, he'd been the nicest person in the world to work for. And when I got caught up in that storm up in New Orleans, he the only guy to send me clothes.
Is that right?
Yeah, I got clothes in there right now. In fact, I got Gary Player's shirt on right now, the Black Knight. That's a coincidence, yeah. Gary Player, I love him. We departed, you know. I went my way and he went his way, but we still speak to each other. Number one, about 2 months ago or 3 months in Birmingham, Michigan, and not Birmingham, Michigan, it was in Dearborn, Michigan, at a golf tournament. I worked for Chi-Chi for the last 5 years, you know.
Uh-huh.
Guess who we're playing with?
How many guesses do I get?
One.
Gary Player.
Gary Player. And he told me, he said, you know something? He said, you're the nicest friend I ever had, one of the nicest friends I ever had.
What a very nice thing to say to you.
Yeah, but because, you know, and he sent me for Christmas, I got a picture here of all his families. I never saw a postcard hooked together with seven postcards, all the six kids, he got their family and everything here right now. I was looking at it. With a ribbon tie, when he got married, his daughters and sisters, all of them was on a postcard. One postcard, a long postcard. You know, you unfold it, it goes, you know, seven. And he always think about me. He calls me, how I'm doing, and whatever, you know. When it was real bad in South African places, I took him to visit my mother in New Orleans, my father, everybody liked him. Gary Player was a real religious person. I got nothing but praises for Gary Player.
Well, that's a beautiful thing. Tell me about your adventures in South Africa. That must have been quite a...
I had some bad times. I had some good times. Most of the time was good times, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear you had bad times. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, there's people, they see the black face or something like that, you know, they say some derogatory words. I just walked away. I had a few fights over there.
Did you really?
Yeah, I had a few fights over there. and my record over there is 4-0. I don't like to talk bad because South African people was nice to me. I had, you have bad times here too, You know, you have bad times in America. I had more bad times in New Orleans than I did in South Africa, you know.
When you said you started out as a shag boy for Ben Hogan,
yeah.
And he had you caddying, have you ever been a golfer?
In 1974, Tarina Caddy and I won the National Caddy Tournament up in Melbourne, Florida. And best ball, he was better than I. Mitch was playing to about a 3 handicap, and I was playing to a 5 or 6 in that area.
Oh, okay. So you've played golf your whole life, too?
Well, I play. That's how I learned. In New Orleans, we used to sneak on the golf course at night. In the evening time, you know, we couldn't. And the pro used to catch us and he'd take us back in the room and whip us, you know. Really, you know, catch you on the golf course in the evening time playing golf. And the pro used to have a little Jeep. He'd come around in and catch us and whip us. And we'd go home, we'd get another whipping.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's how it was. But it was good times, you know, in those days. We had one golf club. All of us used to hit the one golf club. That's how we learned, you know.
But you never had any formal instruction.
No, you know, no. You learn on your own.
Right, and working with people like Ben Hogan and
yeah,
great players.
Yeah, you learn while you watch the swing.
Yeah.
And then you know, I tell everybody, if I'm teaching, you know, I teach some people golf. I catted for Sammy Davis Jr. Catted for Eisenhower.
Whoa, wait a minute.
I catted for Jerry Ford. I catted for Frank Sinatra, Johnny Weissmuller, Crosby, Donna Shaw. I could go on. No, I don't want to keep it all day. I don't care for a lot of most celebrities.
Okay. Well, then I got a first question is, what we'll get to the singers in a second, but who is the best presidential golfer you ever caddied for?
Eisenhower, about a 7-8 handicap. Wow. 7-6. Eisenhower was a good golfer.
How many times did you get to caddy for him?
Twice. I caddied for him at El Dorado Country Club up in Palm Springs. He was a member there. And he always used to see that tall boy rabbit. I want him to caddy for me, you know. And I used to go to he used to live on the 11th hole in the El Dorado Country Club somewhere right there, and I caddied for him a couple of times. I caddied for Chaffee Jam, the 5-star general, the black 5-star general. I caddied for some nice people, man, in
yes,
my life.
You've been a very lucky man. You've led a charmed life, huh?
Yeah. How many guys consider caddy for 2 presidents? Very few.
1.
Yeah, Eisenhower was nice. Really, Ford was too. Ford was a gentleman.
Well, okay, but I got to ask you because I know golfers. No matter what level of play they are at, they can get frustrated on a golf course, and the language can get pretty rough.
Mm.
So, what did either of our presidents have a short temper on their golf game that you caddied for?
You know something. That I get they always highly respected. Both of the President Ford. I could walk down the fairway and talk to him and really talk about anything. That it was nice. You know, there's 1,000 FBIs out there on the golf course with you, but you know, they was all gentlemen. I highly praised the 2 presidents I caddied for.
Come on, Rabbit, I need a good story.
I ain't gonna do that because I'm telling you the truth. If you want, you know, before I ever lie on a person. Really, I would never lie on a person.
No.
Because those guys are very nice and very friendly with me on the golf course, you know.
So,
I know you want me to tell the truth.
Yo, of course I want you to tell the truth, but I want to
get it for Bob Hope.
Okay.
And Bob Hope was a good golfer.
No, but about Bob Hope and Bing Crosby, they were both serious golfers.
Yeah, but Bob Hope was the best.
Really?
Okay. In fact, I'm wearing a golf bag that he gave me. In 1967, I wear it on my as a gold golf bag on my chain. In fact, I got it on now. I got three chains on. I got one chain from South Africa, Cougar Rain. The other chain is from Whitney Houston mother, and I got Bob Hope golf bag on my right now on my chest right now.
So you're wearing your own Hall of Fame.
You,
You're right around your neck and on your shirt.
No, because it's beautiful. Everybody recognize when they see that big gold golf bag on it, solid gold golf bag that Bob Hope gave it to me in Phoenix, Arizona. I never forget that. And I praised this year. It was in the early 50s, the 60s or something, and Bob Hope gave that to me.
In the 50s and 60s, when you were traveling as a PGA caddy, how were the travel accommodations for you? Did you travel with the person you worked with, or did you?
That's a good question. Boy, that's the best question. We used to travel by Greyhound bus, and we were from California to Florida. Soon we get off the bus, we go in the bushes and change our clothes, and we go on the golf course and get our yardage. Now they got computers that they do the yardage with lasers and stuff. They give you yardage. They got one caddy sells you yardage books. In fact, I got a bunch of yardage books for every golf course across the country. But when we used to caddy, we had to get out there and walk from 150-yard markers to 200. And on the golf course, then they had 200, 150, and 100-yard markers. And they didn't have numbers on sprinklers like they have now. Every golf course got numbers on the sprinklers. Some of them got it from the front, the center, and the back. But when we started out, they had no numbers on the sprinklers, period. So we used to walk 36 holes a day, every day for a golf tournament. Now, they give you the pin sheets every morning. They give you, you got your yardage book, so a caddy don't even have to walk on the golf course now until it's time for him to go off. It was tough in those days. And most of the caddies know that. You see, the caddies now, they can't caddy like we can caddy by eyesight. We used to tell a guy, he said, what club you think of, Rabbit? The vibe that you feel for the guy you caddy for, you know what club he going to hit at, 150-yard, 160, 175, or whatever. So the old caddies caddy by feel. These caddies, that's how I won the British Open when I went over there. I was getting you listening?
Oh, I'm listening.
I was getting yardage from every mound over in Lebanon. They had moles. If you go forward in the mole, you can't go towards the green. You got to back up and go and then go to the green.
Wow.
Yeah, so that when they used to laugh at me. Hey, we don't want you over here. So one caddy was following, two caddies was following on the golf course in England. We don't want you over there, you bloody darky or whatever they call me. And I didn't pay no attention because I didn't want to make care player look bad. You know, just fighting the first deal. So two of them went on a golf course, left one of them out there. That was a bad mistake they made. Hmm. And next day they had in the paper, Sugar Ray Rabbit. I knocked him out right on the golf course. Now you want to hear something? There you got it now.
Well, I'm curious. When you say you had to walk the course 36 holes because you walked at 18 before you would go out and play in the tournament. And you would just measure it by your steps?
Yeah, I tell you, we not say you know, after you get the yardage in the yardage book.
Okay.
Every day, you had to go out there in the morning and get the pin placement.
Okay.
Because that's when I said 36 holes a day. You got to get out there early and you want to get those pin placements. You walk on the green and get five steps, but they give them to you now. You don't have to do that now. You had to walk 36 holes a day as an old caddy.
And you would have to advise your player on which club to hit, not on his distance?
No, you see, now, that a lot of people don't know that. If you get that player that yardage, he knows what club to hit.
Exactly.
Yeah, and no, that's when guys would be listening to a caddy talk to a player on the golf course. If a player been hitting 160 yards for 10 years, how can you tell him what club to hit? Only reason that he asks you because he wants to have two heads are better than one confidence. You don't tell a pro. You know, Gary Player, in the years I've been with him, I know a couple of times I think it's the wrong club. You never say nothing because you don't know how hard he's going to hit the shot. You don't know if he's going to hit it low or high. Good caddy speaking when spoken to.
So were you also not just carrying their bag, you were their coach in some ways, weren't you?
Yeah. You see, if you've been with a guy as long as Gary Player, I can tell him, I said, Gary, you're not hitting through the ball. You're hitting at the ball. That's what good caddies can do. Some of them don't know how to do it. They're scared to say it. But I wasn't scared to say it. He said, what? I said, you got to go through the ball. You're hanging back. You're not going forward. So that's what good caddies do. But you have to have enough time with a man that you know when to say something and not to say something.
Mm-hmm.
On the heat of battle, anything happen. You know, you're trying to win that golf tournament.
Right.
So, you know, what made me so that Gary Player trusted me and he believed in me, and I believed in him. I mean, we won a lot of tournaments all over the world because he believed in me and I believed in him.
And what tournaments did you win when you were caddying?
I mean, I won about 65 tournaments all over the world.
And what majors did you win?
I won the British Open, the Swiss Open, South African Open. I won a few openings, the Irish Open, you know, a few openings across the seas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But and at that time, you couldn't caddy in them. Most of the caddies couldn't caddy in the Masters. I tell you why. Because they had local guys caddying in the Masters. White caddy couldn't caddy in the Masters till the 80s. You didn't know that, did you?
Wait a minute. A white caddy could not caddy?
In the British, in the Masters.
In Augusta?
In Augusta, Georgia.
But only black caddies?
All black caddies, local caddies.
Really?
To 80 something, Watson them changed that. Now the other caddies don't change. Now most of the caddies are all white now. There are very few black caddies now. The money done got big now, so you know they hire their brothers, their cousins, and people that they know.
And did the caddies ever get to go out and play too, or was you guys were just working, taking care of the player?
No, you can caddy. You when you're on your own time, you can't.
Okay.
You can't play it on golf course where the tournament at. No way you can do that.
Sure.
But right now I'm working at an all men's golf course up in Houston, Texas. They call it Lock and Bar. It's all men, no women's allowed. And
isn't that what golf stands for?
Huh?
I always heard that golf stands for gentlemen only, ladies forbidden.
I don't know. What this golf course I'm working at, the ladies can't play there. And all the people that play there is Clyde Drexler, McNair, that own the Texans. You got Bagwell and all these guys, they're members out there.
A lot of professional athletes, huh?
Yeah, a lot of professional athletes. Penny Hardaway, basketball player.
Sure.
Out there. Gina Garrison, her husband, their members out there.
Well, okay, so let's talk about professional athletes for one second. I have a very specific question for you. Did you ever think you would see in your lifetime an African-American golfer dominate the tour the way Tiger does?
Well, I have to say no, because not many black kids got into golf.
Right.
And the tennis, they got into basketball.
Sure.
And they got into running track and baseball. They dominated, you know, that's most of black people got into that. But Tiger Woods amazed me. I always thought Jack Nicklaus, myself, be playing head in head with Jack Nicklaus all my life. I never saw a golfer like Jack Nicklaus to Tiger Woods came along.
And what do you think of Tiger?
Well, I tell you right now, the golfers now, they hit the ball 50 yards past Jack Nicklaus. The top 40 golfer right now, a top 50 golfer can outdrive Jack Nicklaus.
Mm.
The young kids, they train, the balls are better, the clubs are better. But the point is, the kids work hard. They got gyms. Every week they come to the golf course where the guys can do exercise. You look at these golfers, they got waistlines of 28, 30. I mean, they're in good shape. So, and at the time that Sam Snead and Arnold Palmer and them come up, they used to drive cars from tournament to tournament, and they get out the car, they go eat, and they go on the golf course. But here and now, they got everything they want to do, right? Everything they want. You could eat at the golf course. You could do anything you want at the golf course now. So the golfers, a long time ago, they didn't have the things that the golfers have now. Gyms, training, everything, doctors at the golf course and all that stuff. They didn't have that.
Yeah, well, they weren't making this kind of money either.
No, and no way in the world. The guy make win one tournament, make more than the guy made in 10 years.
Right, right.
Caddy, look at caddy. The most I ever made in my life is $80,000 one year. And these caddies here make that in a week.
Wow. Yeah, but yeah. But you made some, that was some serious money.
Yeah, Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, caddy made almost $1 million last year.
Would you like to caddy for Tiger Woods?
Of course I would. Yeah, yeah. I tell you, I met Tiger Woods before.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I tell you, this is a good story for you. Up in Los Angeles, at Riviera Country Club, this little kid was standing by the roof with a club in his hand. And Gary Player was putting chipping on the putting green, and this little kid asked Gary Player for an autograph. Cute little curly haired kid, about 4 or 5 years old. I don't know how old he was. And Gary said, "Can you swing that club?" He said, "Sure." And Gary saw that little kid got that club way back there. Gary told him, he said, "Wow, Rabbit, this little kid, he signed an autograph for him." He said, "This little kid's going to be a good golfer." I said, "Why?" I said, look how he got that club back there. And so 10 years later, he won the future Masters, Tiger Woods, and down in somewhere, and he won a tournament. Gary Player said, "That's the little guy right there that I told you was going to be good." Mm. Then 5 more years later, he won the U.S. Amateur, took up to Gary Player. Gary Player told me that guy was going to be a good golfer 20, 30 years ago. Can you believe that? He knew that Tiger Woods was going to be a good golfer. Gary Player knew that.
Wow.
That's a good story for you.
That's a great story. Mm-hmm. Do you, but now we've talked about you being a caddy and an advisor and a coach out on the fairway.
Uh-huh.
What is the value of a caddy when it comes to stepping onto the green?
Well, you know, I'm telling you, very few caddies read greens for pros. They didn't know the texture of the grass, bend grass, and this and that. If a player asks you to read the green, he's not 100%. He don't feel 100% about the break or whatever the deal. But most of the golfers now, they read their own greens. A caddy can, for reading greens, he could give a guy an idea, but how you know how hard he's going to hit the ball?
Mm-hmm.
It's for him to make that last decision how hard he's going to hit it. If you tell him to break left 3 inches, if he don't hit it hard enough for it to break that 3 inches easy enough, what difference it makes? Makes sense, doesn't it?
That makes a lot of sense. And you know, you frequently see photographs of a caddy standing behind the player and they're trying to both read the green. But what you're saying is most of the time that a player will make his own decision. And if
correct. You got it right. Exactly right. He just asking you to encourage yourself to hit the ball harder.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Gary Player, all the years I've been with him, Gary Player mostly read his own greens. But he'll ask me sometime, you know, if you don't have to do I think, and I watch his Gary Player when he take his putter back sometime. I say, "Golly, Gary, you took your putter inside or outside the line." That'll help a player. But to always remember that if you see a golfer or a caddy behind a player, the player have the last say so how hard or how the ball break and everything. It's just the caddy is giving him an extra tool of confidence.
So when you were to say to Gary Player, "Hey, you brought the club inside a little too much," after he takes the shot, do you say to him, "Can I make a suggestion," or do you just tell him that? I mean, you had already said you don't speak until you're spoken to.
Most of the time, he would ask me. He knew what he did. He would ask me, say, "What you think? What are you watching me, Rabbit, or whatever?" Is I'm taking something. Like, wait till you get in. You don't tell when if you're playing a tournament. You don't make that suggestion unless he asks you.
Well, and he's never going to ask you if he did something right, if he succeeded with it. He's only going to ask you if he had a problem or if the ball didn't go correctly.
100% right. You're definitely right about that.
Okay. Tell me about the Hall of Fame. You were inducted into the Professional Caddy Hall of Fame, the PCA, in 2000, right?
Yeah, 2000.
And tell me about when you found out about it. You even knew there was a Hall of Fame?
Well, I knew it was a caddy Hall of Fame. I knew I was highly qualified. I could have went in earlier because there's no one out there more qualified than I am because I had over 65 wins all over the world, and no caddy out there that started out with me had that many wins. You know, I had Tony Lima when he won his first tournament. This is a good story for in Hesperia, California.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of golfers when they won. Hermera Blinker when he had his first one. So I had a lot of other wins other than Gary Player. Dan Sykes, when he went on a regular tour in 62 in Miami, Florida, and I had him again when he won the senior tour. So I had a lot of wins, but the money wasn't good in those days.
Right.
I made enough money as Gary Player lent me money to send my son to Princeton University.
Wow.
Black cat is out there, white cat is, you see, their son graduated from Princeton University.
You should be honored.
Yeah. I would like to see my son. I ain't saw him in 20 years.
Oh, and you said your daddy was a caddy, too.
Yeah, my daddy caddied for Gary Player. That was nothing. I'm telling you, my daddy the one caddied for Gary Player in 59, and I caddied for Gary Player in 62. So, yeah, my daddy, you know, being poor kids from the South, we had to go. My mother had 8 kids. We had to go out to the golf course to make money. If you make a dollar and a quarter that day, in those days, that was plenty of money. You give your mother the dollar, you keep the quarter. At that quarter, you could buy a po' boy sandwich or a jambo drink. For 25 cents, you could buy a lot of stuff for 25 cents in those days. But 25 cents now can't get you around the corner.
Did every caddy have a nickname and nobody used their real name?
Yeah. All of them. Hobo, golf ball. Simo, he dead. Killer, he's from Texas here. He died. He's a welterweight champion of Texas. He caddy, he dead. They died sad, man, really. Caddies, the way they lived their life, they died the same way.
Mm.
We see that most of the caddies in those days, they ran hard, they caddied hard, and they died hard. At least you can say you talked to the last living color caddy. When I say last living color caddy, all the caddies that come up in the 50s, they're all dead.
Well, I will be living. I'll be sure to tell my grandchildren when that happens.
Okay, man, call me anytime. I hope you're happy with what I told you.
Oh, I love the stories, Rabbit. It was great to speak to you. Thank you so much.
Okay, buddy.
It's time to ask Kenny. Do you have a question about specific golf gear or are baffled about what to look for in a category of golf products? Kenny Nicholson, sales manager at EdwinWattsGolf.com, would like to help. And if we use your question on the show, you'll receive a free Golf Smarter Edwin Watts Golf hat. To submit your question, send an email to fred@golfsmarterpodcast.com with the subject, Ask Kenny. Ask Kenny is brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf and EdwinWattsGolf.com. Golf's most trusted retailer since 1968. Hey, Kenny, how are you?
Good, Fred. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well, and I want to thank you for your hospitality last week. I was down in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, and I spent a couple days in meetings with you guys, and we went out and played a round of golf, and I really enjoyed being face-to-face and seeing who I am talking to.
Yeah, it was great to meet you, and we had an awesome time as well.
And let me just say something to our listener. If you are the kind of person who likes to support family-run business, like the mom-and-pop business, you know, when you go shopping in your neighborhood and then there's the big supermarket and there's the Starbucks and then it's McDonald's, and then there's Bill's Hardware Store, you like to support the local guy, you like to support the family business, then you should definitely be supporting Edwin Watts Golf, because that place, walking around the headquarters, it's a big business, but it's a family business, and everybody who works there feels like and is proud to be part of that family. And I just had such a great sense of that when I was walking around. I was just so impressed, Kenny. That place was awesome.
That's what it's always been. I've been here 13 years, and family's first when it comes, you know, to this organization. And everybody here feels, you know, like they're part of a family when they're here. So it's a great relationship and one that I thoroughly enjoy being a part of.
Your last job, man.
You're exactly correct. I hope so.
I hope so, too. Well, we got a couple of questions about the same topic today, and I think it's a good thing that we go over it, and that's about shipping overseas. The first one came from Pete Makepeace, who's a regular listener and a regular contributor to, you know, quotes and questions. And he said that he received the Edwin Watts brochure catalog at his home in England. And based on the prices and reputation, there's certainly a couple things that he's thinking about buying, notably the FootJoy Real Fit shoes, the Bushnell X500M, and the Nike Sumo SQ. Good job, Pete. But his question is, can I take advantage of the free shipping all the way to the UK? Also, what's the position on paying excise duty on goods coming into the UK? Does Edwin Watts calculate anything that's due? So there's that one. And then also, another one came in from Brendan Jensen, who wrote from Australia, saying that he assumes that free shipping does not include international orders. Can you please check with Kenny if the free shipping applies to orders placed from Australia, or are there shipping discounts at all? So why don't we address that first?
The question about the free shipping applies to the continental U.S. on international orders. What we'll do is we'll basically just charge you our cost, which is, you know, extremely low. I can give you an example. Shipping to the U.K., one golf club is about $20 is all. And anything over that, three clubs is about $30. So the expense is minimal as far as getting something over there. Good question about VAT, duties or taxes, however you want to call it. You are going to pay duties and taxes when it does arrive at your destination. We will apply the discount to the order like we would anybody else, and that'll be shown on the invoice, so you will pay taxes on you know, what the invoice calls for.
Okay, and so you're going to have to pay that, but you still get a 10% discount on shopping from Edwin Watts Golf when you are a Golf Smarter listener. But let's talk about the some restrictions apply when we talk about the 10% discount. Let's clarify that a little more.
There are a couple manufacturers out there.
Can we give a for instance?
We can give a for instance. Ping is one of those that absolutely there's no gray area. It's black and white. They have what's called MAP policy, which is manufacturer's advertised price, and they have what's called MSP, which is manufacturer's sale price. Those products will not be discounted one penny. You know, there's no way that we can get around that. And as far as any type of promotional shipping or anything offers that we offer like that, they do not apply to that manufacturer as well. And there's there's probably two or three manufacturers that applies to Titleist, which falls under the Acushnet brand, which is Titleist and Cobra products as well. And we're just restricted by the manufacturer. If we can offer you the discount and offer you the free shipping on any item that you order through Edwin Watts, we're going to do that. But there are some restrictions that do apply, and we have to play by the rules.
Okay, and Brendan in Australia had one more question that's relevant to this conversation. He said that he noticed that some online stores do not accept credit cards that are issued out of the United States. Is this the case with Edwin Watts Golf?
I can tell him that we're one of the largest international shippers in the Southeast United States. We ship internationally every day, all day long. The main thing that you have to take into consideration when we're shipping internationally is it has to go to the billing address that is on the credit card. That's the one thing that we do have to verify. It has to do with fraud. You know, it's something that happens in the United States as well as internationally. So if we're shipping to the billing address, we verify that information with your bank, and that order ships out usually within 24 to 48 hours.
Okay, so there you have the answers about the question shipping overseas and which credit cards to use. Thank you, Kenny, for doing that. But we have other business to take care of. For instance, it's time for our giveaway. We're giving away the Tour Edge stand bag. We have received 95 entries, and they are from all over the world once again. And I have taken all the entries. I have put them in a spreadsheet. I sorted them alphabetically by city. So it's not by name. It's not by when they arrived. I'm trying to do it as fair as possible. And then, Kenny, you've never seen this list, and you won't see it until after we've discussed this. But I want you to pick a number between 1 and 95, and you may pick 1, and you may pick 95. And that is going to be the winner of the Tour Edge stand bag. And that is number?
I'm going to go with number 88 this week.
You went with a high number.
I did go with a high number.
Good for you. Now, number 88 is Warren Davis of Waterville, Ohio. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Warren.
Good job. It's the first time he's entered. First time he's entered one of our drawings. And we have a number of people who entered the first time, and we have a lot of people who repeat. So you guys keep plugging away. It's kind of like a hole-in-one. You never know what's going to happen, but it could be your day. So, Warren Davis, we're going to send you that Tour Edge stand bag. And also to Pete Makepeace and Brendan Jensen, we're going to send them the Edwin Watts golf hats, which we finally got in, and I got to wear one all week. Gladly, proudly. It's so cool looking. Thank you. And now let's give something else away. God, this is so much fun. Christmas all year long. All right, Kenny, what are we going to give away next?
I talked to my good buddies over at Sonar Tech, and we're going to give away the new LS99 Fairway Wood. I just want to touch real quick on Sonar Tech, and Fred, you can attest to this. I've played their Fairway Woods for probably the last 5 or 6 years, and it's truly an incredible golf club. They don't. Last I read, now this could be overstepping my boundaries, but they didn't pay any players on tour to use their products. And if you look at the Darrell survey on what guys use on tour on a regular basis, Fairway Wood has one of the largest counts of Fairway Woods played out there on a weekly basis. So that's a testament to how good a product they actually make. Retail value on that golf club is about $250. So truly an amazing product. I love it. I play it, and that should tell you a little bit right there.
Wow, that's awesome. All right, we're going to do this over a two-week period. So to enter, if you'd like to win the Sonar Tech GS Tour Fairway Wood, it's a three-wood?
Well, you can get a three-wood, a five-wood, or a seven-wood. Whoever wins can let us know what loft they want to get that in and what flex and what hand.
Sweet.
And we'll be able to accommodate that.
Sweet. Good job. All right. To win the Sonar Tech Fairway Wood, send an email with the subject Sonar Tech to pickme@golfsmarterpodcast.com. And along with your email address, please include your name and mailing address so that we know where we can send the prize when you win. For more information, of course, check your show notes. Deadline for entries is midnight, February 18th, and the winner will be announced on the program on February 19th. And also, you should be aware that your email will be given to Edwin Watts Golf because we're all friends here and they want to send you a catalog and then you'll be in their database. So if you've entered, we appreciate that and you do know that they're going to be getting it. And if you want to just call them and talk to one of their sales representatives, I was in the room. I got to see them all doing the work. These guys have been there forever. These are not like sales guys who've been working there a week and are going to be going to sell shoes at Foot Locker next week. These are dedicated golf professionals who really can answer your questions when you call the number 1-800-874-0146. Make sure you tell them you're a Golf Smarter listener. I met most of them, so they know who we are now. And go ahead and make your order. Talk to these folks or do it online. Either way, you're going to be happy with what you get and you're going to be happy with the price. Kenny, I think we've covered a lot of things so far today. Thanks so much for your help, pal.
Good talking to you, Fred.
And you too, Kenny. And I want to make minor correction here. The deadline for entries is midnight, February 19th, and the winner will be announced on the program on February 20th, 2007. Before we get to our quote, I need to ask you a favor. Because of the great luck that we've had with the Golf Smarter podcast and what we've learned about what you like to hear, we're about to launch a new website that will host podcasts that we will produce on a wide variety of topics. The interviews will be done mostly by myself and my wife, who's the voice at the beginning of the show, and frankly, she's the true professional in our family when it comes to doing interviews. And the first show that launches this week is called The New Glucose Revolution. The New Glucose Revolution podcast is based on the glycemic index, the GI, a tool that can help you figure out what carbs you should eat. Dr. Jenny Brand Miller, co-author of the book and the world's authority on the GI, offers practical tips for using the GI to eat well, lose weight, cook for kids, and most importantly, manage diabetes. So if you have diabetes or know someone who does, then please tell them about the New Glucose Revolution podcast. You can find it in iTunes by searching for Glucose Revolution. As we launch more programs and our website becomes active, I'll let you know of what we have to offer, and I'd really appreciate your feedback to anything you hear. And of course, if you have suggestions for shows, we're always looking for content ideas. Thank you for that. Now, this week's closing quote comes from Bruce Cole of San Rafael, California. Bruce is a friend of mine, and he reminded me of this when we were playing recently. He simply said, "Remember, your next shot could be the best shot of the day." Please send your quotes, your comments, suggestions, and requests to Fred at golfsmarterpodcast.com.